The loved ones and a morgue overflowed with bodies Monday after heavy rains and flooding killed at least 200 people in Sierra Leone's capital. Bodies were spread out on the floor of the morgue, according to one coroner technician. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my sidekick, as always, Sean.
Hello.
We are going to leave Sean's last name out of this because he's embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just don't want to bring shame on my family with this, this whole situation.
Yeah, your parents have, like, real jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're doctors.
Right.
Like, I'm going on my conspiracy radio show, and they're just like, I don't know you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They think you're at work.
Yeah.
All right, so I know for all of you listening that you like listen to this show religiously, and you think, "Man, Chance is a cool, laid-back dude, a hip." What do the kids call him? Hip? I'm hip.
Is that what kids call me
when I'm not around?
I don't know. I talk like I'm from the 1920s. I was just born talking that way.
Yeah, well,
you know, so.
Well, my point is that I at the. Urging of my counselor, I go to a counselor because while I carry myself in this laid-back fashion, I'm actually incredibly high stress on the inside.
Sure.
And so my counselor has told me to try mindful meditation. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking about this off and on.
A couple shows.
Well, today I meditated for 5 minutes.
Well, that's impressive.
It was the first time I've ever even tried.
That actually is legitimately impressive.
Yeah. It's the first time I ever tried. I'm not sure if it takes some of the zing. If the fact that you're meditating to a YouTube video, is that mystically inappropriate?
I guess it depends on the video.
How it got there, if it magically appeared there, or if somebody uploaded
no,
it.
No, I mean it.
It wasn't monetized. There was no ad that came.
That's not the point. I just mean if you're like trying to meditate to heavy metal or something, that might.
Like. No. It's a mindful meditation, which is like a type of guided meditation, apparently. So guided meditation will like tell you, okay, well, you're walking through a field and you feel the grass between your toes.
It's like hypnosis.
And mindful meditation is guiding you in the same way, but it's really sort of telling you to like think about nothing, and it's like just feel the feeling of your feet, and if any negative thoughts come into your head, just let them go and stuff like that. So it's a little more focused on you and a little less imagination, like you're walking through a field wearing a beaded necklace and a headscarf.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of suck at meditation. I don't mind admitting on the radio, but...
I'd be embarrassed to admit this in some social circles.
Oh, well, my parents aren't listening anyway, so... They're just sitting there with your yogi going like, our child is so bad at meditation. It brings shame upon us. And they're really taking a beating in this conversation.
Right. Totally.
But, yeah, no, I have a hard time staying focused for that long.
You've tried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can stay focused for several minutes.
And why did you try?
Well, I thought it might be interesting.
Oh, okay.
But I was trying to cast magic. Yeah. It's a whole thing. That's a book we don't want to open.
I feel that the meditations that I was doing was not magical, but maybe I'm doing it wrong. So before we actually run on to our other topic, for those of our listeners that don't know, our show is actually also on Wednesday nights on the Parax Radio Network.
That's right.
In the chat room when it was up there, we were talking about why you weren't there.
Yeah, well, I was off in Burnie hunting a ghost that I had mentioned previously on the show as a sighting that had you know, that is in the neighborhood.
Right, the one that was mentioned on One Candle Society.
Right. So to boil it down, there's this whole urban legend about Black Ranch Road and Bernie, which is kind of this spooky, gravelly road that cuts through this giant forest.
It's got a spooky name.
It does have a spooky name, which, I mean, is half the battle, really. Anyway, there's a legend that this little ghost girl with black eyes lives there and freaks out drunk drivers. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't drunk when I was driving down it, so that could explain my failure, but honestly, I'm disappointed.
This is the first time somebody failed by not driving.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't want any listeners to take this as an endorsement of drunk driving, though. Right. If you do drive drunk on Black Ranch Road, tell us how it went.
Right, if you can.
If you survive / remember.
So before you tell us the probably disappointing outcome, right. what is the story again behind this ghost?
Oh, there. No one knows the story. It's just something that's been cited a couple of times.
I see.
Small child, black eyes, freaks out people. So people assume, you know, maybe it was a child who was killed in a drunk driving accident. You know, there's no evidence that that ever happened. But that's the story anyway. And so, yeah, I really was quite disappointed. I drove all the way out there, walked around in the spooky forest for a while. But, yeah, No ghosts. Did hear creepy laughter from the woods.
Really?
That's not at all out of the ordinary for me, but...
I see.
Yeah.
So it might have been coming from you, or a moonshine still?
No, I just... I mean, I hear strange noises all the time. You know, creepy laughter, growls, strange knocks, whatever. It's like... It probably had nothing to do with Black Ranch Road, so that was disappointing.
Maybe you're haunted.
Maybe I am haunted, but that's... You know, I was expecting a little more than that. And I did also see, very curiously, one man in the middle of the night who was in a truck driving very slowly backwards down the road whilst looking out of the side of the truck, like peering intently into the underbrush. So who knows, maybe he was hunting ghosts too. I was driving far too fast to stop and talk to him.
But. Far too fast down the haunted gravelly road.
Yeah, well, I figured it was prudent. Because if I wasn't drunk, maybe if I drove recklessly enough, you know, it would count.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I was disappointed. Where's the potency? You know, you get all these spirits, you know, you might see something out of the corner of your eye, just like a flicker, and it's like there's really nothing more to that than images in a picture book. Where are the ghosts that like throw lightning bolts?
You would be a terrible ghost hunter, I gotta tell you. Do you ever watch these ghost hunting shows?
Yeah, there's I know they have a lot of fortitude.
Yeah, there's like three seasons, and they find,
and I'm
like
disappointed after you know one single thing.
Yeah, but, you know, you've spent 15 minutes in the brush and you're over it.
I don't know how they do it, you know, because I felt like an idiot when I was driving back from Black Ranch Road, I have to say. I'm like, well, nothing happened, just like I didn't think there would be anything.
Right. All right. Well, our guest tonight is Shaman Michael William Denny. Have you done your shaman research?
I have done enough research to know that shaman is a pretty broad term.
Yeah, I think so too. And from my researching him, he definitely wears a lot of hats. So there's a lot to discuss. Come on back for Radio Wasteland with our guest shaman, Michael William Denny.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, heard here on KCNR 1460, Monday through Friday from 7 to 9. Tuesday, we will be getting an update from Turtle Bay Exploration Park on their fall programs and progress on the Sheraton Hotel as it nears completion. We will also meet another Anderson success story as the owners of the grocery outlet share their entrepreneurial experience. Your calls and comments always welcome in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. If you miss a day, you miss a lot.
Your future career awaits at Shasta College, and now it's all about more. More classes so you can graduate faster, more flexibility to work around your busy life schedule, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. You told us what you needed, and we listened, giving you new self-paced math classes, transfer classes for the university-bound student, and more online offerings to help you achieve your academic goals. Fall enrollment is going on right now for both new and returning students, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Simply call 242-7650, and one of our skilled admissions officers will help register you and direct you to the next step to achieving your goal. And that's it. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. Call 242-7650 to register for fall classes. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help bring it all together. Find your more at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
And there's, that's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
The time to rise has been.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Shaman Michael William Denny. How's it going, Michael?
Great. How are you doing?
Not bad. So I guess, you know, our best way to start off these things is to ask you, you know, I assume that you were started off life like the rest of us. How did you get involved with shamanism?
Well, as you said earlier, off the beaten path. Shamanism is a very broad term. You know, as a kid, I did the normal religious thing with the church and all that kind of stuff. I was actually going to be a preacher when I was in my, you know, late teens and all that kind of thing. But the short answer is I got involved in multiple traditions that employ what I call traditions that have an unbroken connection into prehistory. So I got involved in initially Taoist martial arts, which is Chinese martial arts, which has to do with a lot of things like Qigong, which is energy work and meditation and all that kind of stuff. And then that branched out into other things like yoga and yogic meditation. And I trained with some African shamans and learned their drumming techniques. So I became kind of a syncretist, and I became really interested in finding what the root spiritual science is to all of these different disciplines, with the assumption that, you know, if spirituality is real, then there's going to be a science to it, and you're going to be able to see in these multiple cultures some similarities that will show you an underlying reality to this.
You know, I've often, you know, it's interesting that you're doing that, because I've actually often thought the same thing, you know, with religion in general, that if the spirituality is beyond the church and historically much more beyond the existence of any church or religion, that, you know, there should be similarities across the world and through cultures, and granted people's interpretations would be different, but you know, their messaging might not be. Have you found any sort of similarities from things that people would think were so incredibly far apart?
Yeah, I have, actually. In fact, I was just finishing doing a video on this, and this is kind of interesting, but, you know, let's see, what is today? Today is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Well, Tuesday is named after the god of war, Q. And so I've been doing a lot of research into him because he's very interesting. But just from the language, the name Q comes from the same root where we get divinity. And it's in the name Jupiter, you know, the god of the Romans. It's in the name Zeus, the god of the king of the gods in the Greek tradition. It's also in the Vedic tradition of East India, Yates, Pita. But what's interesting about all of that, now we can understand, okay, they're all Indo-European, so we can see a linguistic and perhaps even a genetic link that goes back. But what's really interesting is that Q is seen as the king of the North Star. Now, the Chinese tradition, now according to my armchair linguistics understanding, the Chinese language is very different from the Indo-Europeans and probably represents a completely different migration of humans out of Africa, you know, 50, 60,000 years ago, really long time ago. But they have the same name for the king who lives in the North Star, and his name is Di. So that kind of stuff to me is, you know, that's going beyond, you know, any kind of superficial connection that we might make. To me, this tells me that there's a deep, ancient human tradition that if we really dig far enough, we can find some commonalities that everybody shares.
Yeah, ancient civilization, or the idea of it, is definitely one of my favorite things to fantasize about. We were talking about this earlier, that, you know, the city of Ur, you know, we're looking at 6,000-7,000 years ago, and we've come this far in that amount of time, and we're looking at like 200,000 years of humans being human. And so that's that amount of time, several, many, many times over. And so the likelihood that there weren't other civilizations that drew people together prior to that, I find to be very unlikely. There must have been something, and it's definitely something that's always, scratched my imagination.
Yeah, and for me, when we get past what we call prehistory, you know, pre-written history, we have really no written documentation about what happened and what people were doing. And, you know, looking at what's just happened in the past 2,000 years, the destruction of knowledge just within the Western world is really phenomenal. So, yeah, if we were to go back further and further, it makes perfect sense that there would have been multiple cultures and traditions and societies, and we may not have any idea what those are based on, you know, our understanding of science today.
Yeah, especially, I mean, a prime example would be in the news here recently, ISIS in the Middle East, they were burning books and libraries and art, things that were potentially thousands of years old. And, throughout history, there have been so many struggles that, I mean, a lot of this stuff must have been burned and destroyed and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the great things, this is why I like language so much, because language, it's very hard to get rid of some deeply entrenched beliefs. And I'll give you one example. The word weird. I mean, everybody uses that word, you know, every day. Something is strange or unusual or frightening or spooky or, you know, ugly. We go, ooh, that's weird.
Especially that
is one of those ancient concepts that by the church, by the, you know, the Catholic Church, when it came in, it worked really hard to get rid of a lot of concepts, and one of them was this concept of weird, which was originally spelled W-Y-R-D. And this was the concept of faith. And that idea that we live in this threefold universe, that their understanding of where, I'll just very briefly get into it, was that everything flows from the present moment. And the present moment was called in the Norse Verdandi, which means the ever-unfolding present. Now, that was the hub of everything. Space-time. In fact, not just time, but space itself was woven into existence by three giantesses who had this name. One was ever-evolving present moment. The past was called origins, and the future was called death. So it's very similar to the East Indian version of karma. But the idea of not just time, not just fate, but actually space itself, matter itself, was woven into existence in the present moment. Every time we think something, we feel something, we make a decision, we take an action, this creates a pattern which goes into the past. Now, what's interesting is the past is what creates the future, because that creates a debt that gets thrown into what we experience as the future. We walk into it, but it's actually created in the present moment. Now, that's my point of all that was just to say that when we say we're today, we say it with almost, you know, there's some derision in there, but there's definitely some fear and some spookiness. So when something happens, like we hear a strange sound, we go, ooh, that's weird. But our ancestors would have said that's weird. Not like it's strange, but yeah, that's...
It just is what it is.
Weird. The weaving of time and space, and this is a law we understand. So the church worked really hard to get rid of that. But that's what I love about language. If you keep digging, you can find some things, and if you dig hard enough and kind of bring those things out and blow on them and polish them, then you find some really powerful information that I think, you know, may have been with us for who knows how many tens of thousands of years.
Well, you know, Michael, I didn't really entirely know what to expect from this interview, but I think it's really interesting how you seem to, you know, I was expecting your approach to be much more mystical, yet you have very much of a scientific interest in all of this, and it does convey it in a way that's sort of like, you know, this sort of string theory kind of consciousness where everything is tied together and it's not really mystical or science. It's just the way things are.
Yeah. I am a shaman, so I do things like shamanic traveling and meditation and all of that. But, you know, whenever I have an experience, the first thing I do is I try and verify it in, you know, real time. Because if you can't do anything with it in real time in your waking consciousness, it's worthless. You know, so I'm not interested in namby-pamby whatever. I really want to have something I can use to make my life better. You know, and the way I got into that is I first started training with these Taoist martial artists, and they were talking about all this crazy stuff that I didn't believe. You know, I had trained in things like karate and wrestling and stuff like that. And so, you know, these guys doing all this weird stuff didn't make any sense to me. And I said, well, I'll give them 6 months. And the guy that I was training with was able to do things that I couldn't explain. And then I was able to do things with energy that, you know, you can't really explain. And that's what got me on this process of, you know what, I want to be able to find ways to quantify this so that it's not just, you know, mindless, empty mysticism. You know, it has to be worth something. And this, I think, is what shamans originally were. They were the psychologists. They were the herbalists. They were the scientists. They were the philosophers and the storytellers. They were all of these things wrapped into one. And nowadays, you know, modern times, we've gotten so compartmentalized that, you know, mysticism goes off into its own little tiny folder and we don't really connect it to anything else.
Right. Okay, well, we are coming up on our first commercial break. You are listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Shaman Michael William Denny. Be sure to come on back and check us out. Thanks.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hey, Linda, where do you think the best place in town is to get a sandwich?
Well, my favorite is the Best Little Sandwich Shop. I like the one on Eureka.
Well, you know, they've got four locations. They have Anderson, another place on Churn Creek in Redding, and, of course, Palisadro.
Remember the party we went to the other day? The food was catered by the Best Little Sandwich Shop, and it was amazing.
It was some of the best food I've had at any one of those types of events.
Just mention Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Get 10% off at the Best Little Sandwich Shop at any of the four locations.
Check out the menu at tbls.com. The Best Little Sandwich Shop.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's the Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Your future career awaits at Shasta College, and now it's all about more. More classes so you can graduate faster, more flexibility to work around your busy life schedule, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. You told us what you needed, and we listen, giving you new self-paced math classes, transfer classes for the university-bound student, and more online offerings to help you achieve your academic goals. Fall enrollment is going on right now for both new and returning students, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Simply call 242-7650, and one of our skilled admissions officers will help register you and direct you to the next step to achieving your goal. And that's it. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. Call 242-7650 to register for fall classes. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help bring it all together. Find your more at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Shaman Michael William Denny. Michael, you know, in doing my research that we sort of jokingly refer to as internet stalking you, we've, you know, you have written a lot of books about runes. And we were discussing how runes is kind of an interesting topic because it fits so much into what you were already talking about. Because it's one of those things that seems to be prevalent in many, many cultures across the planet. You know, how did you get started in the interest in runes?
Well, when I began researching my own ethnic heritage and wanting to discover what that was about, you know, I won't get into it. I had a lot of experiences with that, which obviously got me deeper into that. This was something that was very important. And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of the books and stuff that were out there were, nobody seemed to really agree. So I, again, being a lover of language, I went and I just looked at it as a pathway to understand language and using the language of our ancestors. And then when I really started wanting to work with runes, because runes were used for things like meditation and chanting and things like that, I actually started doing rune readings, and I started doing rune readings on the phone, and I got was doing that for so long that I started getting my own personal interpretations of that, and that's what came up with the books that I have on my website there and on Amazon.
So this is, you know, we deal with quite a few guests who deal with, you know, mediumship and Ouija and, you know, several other things. So this question always comes to mind with these things. When you're reading the runes, is the runes a tool to channel what you're getting, or are you getting it from the runes?
That is a really good question. So I guess there's a threefold answer to that. First one is that a lot of modern, you know, magicians, which I think are operating out of an incomplete understanding of our ancestral magic and spirituality, they'll say that the runes are arbitrary and it's what you put on them. And I completely disagree. I think that language and sounds that we speak, you know, even the Abrahamic traditions will say that, you know, God spoke. And so there's this understanding that sound and sound vibration has an ability to create. And I believe the runes are tapping into that. Now, having said that, this is why it's important when you're doing rune readings that you are objective. So this is why, you know, when I'm doing rune readings over the phone, I charge people money so that they're paying me for my time, so that I don't have any agenda with them. My only agenda is to interpret what's in front of me. But the problem is, like, when you try and do readings for yourself, or if you do readings for somebody to care about, or if you want them to like you, then what ends up happening is that you have the ability to influence the reading with your unconscious and your subconscious mind. So I don't want to give the idea that just because somebody's reading runes that they're automatically getting the truth. It's real easy to influence the readings yourself, you know, with wishful thinking. But the difference between, say, runes and, like, Ouija boards have one purpose, and that one purpose is to open up a portal to bring in some non-corporeal energy into your physical reality and manipulate you physically so that you move around the board. That is a whole different thing, and I don't play around with that stuff. When you're dealing with the runes, in my opinion, you're either going to be getting your own unconscious, you know, wishful thinking, or you are going to be dealing with your higher self, which will be, you know, here's how it works. The runes that you pick, whether you're using cards or whether rune staves or whatever it is, your unconscious mind has already figured out which runes it's going to end up, you know, pulling, even if you're, you know, you're shuffling the cards or whatever. So the mystery isn't in somebody else doing it. You're doing it. The question is whether or not you are channeling your higher self, your own unconscious desires, or the unconscious desires of the person that you're being reading for. So that's my threefold answer to your question.
So it seems to me like it's something between astral projection, remote viewing, and Godhead. It's like a connection to existence, and you're sort of reading the ripples of life. And if you're open enough, you're getting a clearer answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it does depend on who you're getting the reading from, because ideally, you know, some people have a clearer connection, if you will, than others. So, yeah, runes themselves, you know, if you're just using them for personal growth and meditation, you can't go wrong with them. But when you start trying to use them for you know, either influencing people, which really doesn't work, that's a misunderstanding, or doing readings, then, yeah, you're in that kind of gray area where mistakes can happen.
Right. Okay. So is part of what you do, does it, I'm not really sure how to put this, does it involve, because I definitely have a lot of interest in the concept kind of behind astral projection and one's astral or ethereal being. Does it involve this?
Yes. I personally, I try and stay as grounded as I can. Earlier in my training, when I was doing the deep Taoist energy stuff, it was hard for me to stay in my body. And when I was training with the Africans and doing the African drum, it was hard for me to stay in my body. So I work to stay in my body. Having said that, I find that shamanic journeying is a very effective and very safe way of doing it. But, you know, again, astral projection is sort of like shamanism. It sort of depends on who you're talking to, what they, how they view that. I definitely am also a big fan of lucid dreaming, which I would put in similar categories. But I do think that it is part of it. But I want to emphasize when I teach people that, you know, I give people a lot of options. You've looked at my stuff. I teach people a lot of different things. And what's important is that people go after what they have an interest and an ability in. And so part of my job is to help them find that. I'm not really trying to make carbon copies of me. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're teaching people, it's not like you're teaching them a religion. You're teaching them tools that will help them with their life and their problems.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And so this can cover anything from meditation and divination with the runes to actual martial arts, like you've also studied.
Yeah, and meditation, energy work. I also teach people mantra. There's a science behind that. Everybody's different. So I listen to what it is that they want. If I, you know, one of the first things I do is I look at their Vedic astrological chart, which will tell me a lot about them. So I help them find what's going to make them happy. The bottom line is this. I mean, all this other stuff that I'm doing, which is really important to me, there's really one thing that I find to be the most important, and that is, what is it that is going to bring somebody fulfillment in their life? And so all of these other tools are really ways to access all the different parts of themselves so that they can do exactly that. That they can have fulfillment. Because ultimately, what else matters? When we're done with this life, we're going to look back and we're not going to ask ourselves, you know, how much money we made or how successful we were. We're going to ask ourselves, did I do everything I wanted to do?
Right. So, you know, when we deal with mediumship and stuff like this, you know, although I don't think it's fair to put you in the category of mediumship, I'm just trying to get an understanding here. And that is, people seem to have very drastically different opinions on basically the way things are. You know, it's just like in this world with religion and belief systems in general.
Yeah.
You know, is
why it works oftentimes. We
right.
talk to people and they have a very deep and complex theory of, you know, of how the practices that they engage in work.
Right. Absolutely. So do you feel that you're close to an answer, or is it more so interpreting existence as it happens? I'm not really sure how to word that question. Do you feel that you're close to an answer?
In terms of mediumship, you know, it helps me. You know, this is, again, like talking about ghosts, you know, or spirits. It's like, well, wait a minute, what kind of spirit? We live in this community. We're just like in your neighborhood. You've got all different kinds of people from all different kinds of backgrounds. So the same thing is true in the spirit world. So when it comes to mediumship, you know, again, the mindset of the person involved is going to have everything to do with it, because I don't know if they're channeling their own unconscious issues. I don't know if they're channeling some, you know, negative entity, or if they're channeling a deity. You know what I mean? So I don't have a problem with any of it. But it's the same thing. You know, when we talk about spirituality, people kind of put spirituality on this higher plane and everything that's spiritual is good. And, you know, like a ghost. If you got a ghost in your house, if you didn't think of them as a disembodied spirit, you wouldn't get all freaked out.
Michael, I'm sorry, we're coming up on our last commercial break.
Sure.
We'll be right back with Shaman Michael William Denny on Radio Wasteland.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000, I opened the Conscious Yoga. We are a variety of health needs, consists of yoga and health professionals. Conscious being a student right there, and safety is always a priority. With classes, free and options, visit consciouslivingyoga.com for the schedule and other information.
Have you found added with Asia? Instead of calling a tow truck, a low cab, do it for only 12 hours and days a week of the year. Think of the needs of your parents, seniors, or children throughout the city and day, no matter the hour. Call Red Yellow and they'll do shopping at the airport or any other tonight at 222-134.
Mighty Northwestern Truck, letting you know that you no longer have to get up in your SCW currently at GreditCV.com and select the end. While you're there, download the application 4 weeks from your expiration date, city application, and your training certificate. For any questions, give me a call 550-999-1822 or visit online at GreditCCW.com. And I'll see you at Ranch.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 in Trinidad's Radio Wakeland. For local ID, the explained and unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained from movie stars and guide things that go in the night. So we explore these and more as our studio team day featured guests and calls. Monday, rough, but not overgrain. A chance for a sweep with Rio waiting.
Monday on KNR.
I'm Dr. Sam Marino, Justice Specialist. Tell us about the newest at the DX 9000.
DX 9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal fracture system. The DX 9000 has common inducing back pain, neck pain, and nose and echo.
We hear all over about just having ready to have surgery. Is that?
Many people having back surgery and the knowledge of non-surgical surgery is right and rest.
When you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DX 9000, what's the main for this?
Non-surgical spinal fracture saver, more than reasonable, and most invasive, with side effects or depends on harmful substrates.
Explore all options and potentially avoid painful, long, extended recovery back surgery. See if the DX 9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Carino of Shasta Spine Specialist. 2300. You can also online at chassispa.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You are listening to John McLean. You have a lot of what we're talking about before, but here in the studio, we're talking about lucid dreaming. My son has been interested in lucid dreaming, and Sean here, interested in lucid dreaming. Seeing that this is something too often, does that entail, really?
Or how does it get into the whole thing? Yeah. I mean, we may or may not know if we're listeners, you know, you come once as you're dreaming, but how do you use that in what you do?
Excellent question. Well, the assumption of the most shamanic practice is that what we're in is an illusion, a dream, as we call it, a phoenix nowadays. And so the idea is that when you become aware of your dream, those of you you'll know that you all of a sudden have the power to dream.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to do that in waking. So lucid dreaming impacts you in the practice of just assuming that everything is awake, so control the dream. And so that's the back application. You can do take life so seriously. Like my students is that, you know, when you've created this dream, you created this mate before you were incarnate. And so the illusion is infinite. And as you need to believe that the universe will respond to it. But if you start to wake up in the dream that you are in fact intended to create everything, then that's exactly what's going to happen. You begin to have control over what you do. And again, hoping that is so that we gain them and happy. That means there's nothing more spiritual than just happy.
You know, this fit into a spiritual. Yeah, my dad would give me some advice, and one of the, you know, he was a tank man. Some of the pieces of advice actually was, Chelsea, how many times this happened to have you and to your problems? You know, and it kind of
into this.
But, you know, that really makes a lot of sense, you know, especially when we used to bring in the science concepts of is reality based on perception more so than perception is reality.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it was that experiment in the 70s that concluded light is a particle or wave of the observer. And just recently in Australia, they did the same experiment with high information. And what they concluded was saying that light reacted depending on what the intention of the observer was. But it did more than that. It actually then it did decide what it was until the end of the experiment. And then they said through a little grit or put there or not.
Right.
But
right. Yeah. And stuff comes through on the other end, it would come out.
Right, okay, exactly. Right. And so yeah. The other side, they found that then it hadn't said what it was until it got to the end. And then when it decided whether it was part of the way, it went back into time and other so that it all looked normal. And this is crucial because when you are awake within the dream, that's exactly what happens. You intend, you are in alignment, you know, yourself with your deepest desires. And when you do that, then happens you intend your reality. And nobody knows anything. You'll know anything. But nobody else will because then that this web of weird that Lexner made to live in, then make the decision that, okay, I'm going to miss this for you, and I'm going to try to justify that looks more to everybody else.
Right. Well, give time and five, so I want to give a chance to the listeners know how to get in touch with you. You offer class online?
Yeah, so, you can go to underwizard.com. That gets my advantage in the universe. You can also just go on to YouTube and type in underwizard.com, and that'll take my channels for you and all kinds of free stuff. And then you can go to michaelwilliamdenny.com, or you can just me into Amazon, you'll see my videos and all that. And this will be an e-way.
All right. Well, we'll definitely make sure to, you know, some people... their way. And I believe the conversation, you know, that I'm really kind of, but I'm a skeptic who is interested and really wants to know. I'm a skeptic and pertinent about it. And I'm just one who questions what's in front of me. Really enjoy these sort of scientific and mysticism sort of all at once. It's definitely made more palatable for me to digest and understand.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm getting a real honor
for
the afternoon.
No problem. Well, you're listening to Shane Mike Liam Dane on Radio Wasteland. Sure to check out next week.
Listening to KCNR 40, Infinity Talk Radio for the North States, KCNR, Casta, Red.
Breaking news is our town hall. I'm Charlotte O'Keefe. Was defending his mantle of the violence between protesters and counter-protesters last weekend. I'm when the situation came serious, additional AC were called into assist.
Once the assault was declared, we requested the state's mobile force to deploy and their right alpha station at that point go there.
Three people killed, who two city officers helicopter crashed. Virginia Timothy's administration cut an extensive view of how police were and response, like one.